Hello, friends. Welcome to the Extra Time Podcast. I'm Kevin Jeffers here with Jonathan Raymond.
Hello.
Hi, John.
It's good to be on the podcast.
We're going to talk some basketball today. We haven't done this in a while. Well, we do it every day, but we haven't done it into microphones in a while. We're about halfway through the NBA playoffs. But what we really came here to talk about today is Space Jam 2, which was greenlit last night, pretty much. LeBron James signed up. And I just want to get your takes, John, on who you think the rest of the the Monstar squad is going to be. Is Bugs Bunny still in form? You know, it's been 20 years since the last Space Jam.
I think Bugs Bunny will probably have aged pretty well. He's a cartoon.
That's a good point.
They tend not to show signs of aging. I think if you put Bugs Bunny on a court in 2016, he's going to look just as good as he did in 1996. The players I would like to see Monstar.
I have a thought on this before you go. I think LeBron is just going to pick his buddies. I think he's going to pick Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, all the most unlikable players in the league. And I think it's going to cost them. I really do. I think that team is just going to be really bad, and the Toon Squad is going to run over them this time. It won't even come down to the last minute.
I don't think you can go with just LeBron's buddies. I think he needs... I mean, because the last Space Jam, what really makes it stand the test of time is, you know, Sean Bradley, Muggsy Bogues. They were just guys.
Yeah, they were just random guys. There was no... Like, if you were picking a real all-star team for the Monstars did a terrible job. Sean Bradley, Muggsy Bogues was a popular player, but not because he was that great at basketball, just because he was, you know, this little dude. Sean Bradley was just this big dude. And Larry Johnson, Charles Barkley, the only real Hall of Fame player on that Monstar team.
Yeah, I don't know who you pick.
Who was the other one? Was it Patrick Ewing?
Yeah, Patrick Ewing was in there.
Okay, so give
Charles
me
Charles Barkley too. Yeah.
Give me a 5-person Monstar squad.
For 2016?
Yeah.
I think Draymond Green would be just fun to see in a movie like that. I think he would really, really take it by the horns. I don't know.
Okay.
Blake Griffin.
Blake Griffin, that's a good one.
I think he'd
one.
Be cool in that movie.
How about Kristaps Porzingis? He has Monstar written all over him.
Do you think he's ready for that kind of big time, though?
He doesn't need a few years by now.
In the NBA, he doesn't need to build his profile. You think he can jump right into movies? We're already at that level with Kristaps.
He would bring that sweet Latvian market to the cinema.
Well, you can't ever ignore the Latvian market when you're considering the cinema. Speaking of cinema markets, China's a huge cinema market.
Yeah, but
we should get Jeremy Lin in there. I know he's Taiwanese, but they are big fans of Jeremy Lin.
That's true. I can see Jeremy Lin crossover appeal. Oh, well, Steph Curry's got to be there. But can you make Steph Curry believably evil?
I don't think you can have Steph Curry in there. I think it would have been like putting Scottie Pippen or Karl Malone in the first Space Jam. They're too close.
Karl Malone.
They're too close to upstaging.
His southern accent would have ruined the whole movie.
You need to leave a lot more room between your top star and the supporting
cast. So you
want
just like a Durant and then some role players. Do we space the floor? Do we pound them deep inside? Because the Toon Squad doesn't have a lot of size.
You know, the basketball physics of it are beyond my analytical skills, I think.
All right, well, okay, here's my 5-man. Blake Griffin, Kristaps Porzingis. Those are your two big men.
Mm-hmm.
And you stretch the floor. Durant, Curry... And you need a true point guard, so I'm going to go Chris Paul, even though we know what a very bad actor he is.
Yeah, I think he could do that, though. I think Chris Paul makes sense. I think Curry's too.
I think that Curry's team takes down planet Earth.
Curry's the preeminent superstar in world basketball now.
But LeBron's already signed on. It's his movie.
Right, yeah. I don't begrudge LeBron his movie or think that they should try and refashion it with Stephen Curry, because I don't even think Stephen Curry could really act. I mean, LeBron's a good actor. Did you see that movie? The Amy Schumer movie.
Yeah, he was pretty good. He's got some good comedic timing.
Entertaining. I liked him. So yeah, he should have the movie, but I don't think you can have Stephen Curry in there with him. I think that gets the whole. I mean, what are you going to do with the poster? Who's going to lead the poster? Because the old Space Jam poster was just Michael Jordan and Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, that might be why they picked a bunch of schlubs for the Monstars, so nobody would upstage Jordan.
You can't have Curry in there.
That's a good point. Yeah, I didn't consider that. The Monstars are they gotta try to get Curry. If not, then I'm taking the Toon Squad again.
I think the Toon Squad, by definition, has to win because it's a Space Jam movie.
Okay. We'll continue Space Jam on the next podcast, but for now we want to talk about the NBA playoffs real quick.
Oh, we're going to talk actual. Yeah.
You wrote down some numbers and stuff earlier.
I did. I guess I think the most compelling series right now, and this isn't a searing hot take or anything, but it's obviously Spurs Thunder. And last night, the Thunder evened it at 1-1 in a fairly strange game. It had a fairly strange ending, but they probably, I think, all in all, deserved that win. Here's what I want to know from you first, and then I'll say my piece.
What we actually came to talk about?
Yeah, but do you think that game represented anything about this series, or was that just
I think
a
it was
one-off?
A bit of an anomaly, the way the Spurs couldn't really hit any shots, basically. Duncan was 1-for-8. Tony Parker was pretty awful. Leonard was okay. Aldridge was a monster, but outside of him, they had no offense. They defended okay, as well as you can, against, the superstar-led team the way the Thunder are. I'm surprised they stole a game in San Antonio and took home court advantage, but other than that, I don't see this having much bearing on the inevitable outcome.
No, I think I feel the same. Watching the Thunder last night, they didn't do anything that really, like you said, the Spurs missed a lot of shots. I think the Spurs lost that game more than the Thunder won it. I know that's kind of a cliche way to talk about a game, but
I mean, the Thunder have lost how many fourth quarter leads this year, and it looked like that was about to happen again.
Yeah, and they held on, and credit to them, but I didn't see anything different. I mean, offensively, this team works one way, and that's Durant and Westbrook being really, really awesome. And I don't think that can win them a series against the Spurs. I don't think even when they are really, really awesome and at their best, what the Spurs did in that first game, in that first quarter,
was borderline.
I mean, that is a level the Thunder cannot reach.
I think the series goes 6. I would have said 5 before last night. I just don't see the Thunder sustaining that level of luck. I know that's a stupid way to put it, but they got a bit lucky.
Yeah, I think it's going to go 5. I really haven't seen anything out of Oklahoma City.
Credit to them for winning a game in San Antonio. Only the second home game the Spurs have lost all year.
Chris Webber had I wrote this down, and I wanted to drop it in here. But
you're really excited about dropping this in here.
I was. I really liked
it. Here it comes, everybody.
I think it. I'll just read it. He said, the two most successful teams in the league, Golden State and San Antonio Spurs, what do they have in common besides defensive efficiency? He said, the fact that they lead the league in assists. And if I'm a defensive player, I don't just like standing out there without touching the ball. You have to keep me in games, keep me wanting to play, and have your back. And when you don't have an offensive system that keeps everyone involved, it's hard to keep everyone involved mentally all the time.
That was a very long quote.
It is a
very long
quote.
I wasn't prepared for that.
He said a lot of words. I may have spoken them too fast, but the point is, that's
I'd
how
ask
Oklahoma
you to read it
City.
Again, but we don't have that much time.
That's how the Thunder have always been, and they're still like that. And I don't see, beyond just even this series, I don't see the Thunder working out. I don't see the Durant Westbrook thing working out. They've never had. Maybe they just need a coach, but they've never had one.
And they're too strong of personalities to have a Popovich-like presence,
and they can't play any other way.
Yeah, it might be irreparable. I mean, it took them to the finals one year. They were the best team in the league that year, just lost to the Heat in the finals. Harden left soon after that, and the window, it might shut after this year, as you wrote over the weekend.
Yeah, I think it's – I think it's done for Oklahoma City. And if they stay together even, I don't think we will ever see a team – with Durant and Westbrook together,
I think they both need to get out of the comfort zone that has become Oklahoma City.
Yeah,
the media there, that's all they have are the Thunder, so they sort of baby them a little bit. They seem just standoffish from the rest of the league. I think he eventually goes to the Lakers or the Celtics, Durant that is. Westbrook might join him one day, but the future of the Oklahoma City Thunder is pretty bleak.
It's too bad, but the Spurs look really, really good. Last night, notwithstanding that game one and what they did to Memphis in the first round, but that game one was that I think they should win the title. I don't know, and we haven't seen the Warriors really. That's another thing, I guess. What do you think of the Warriors and how they've played without Curry? But I don't think if unless Curry comes back and they get clicking right away, it's hard for me to see the Warriors getting up back up to that level fast enough to beat the Spurs the way they played in game one.
I think they're being very cautious with Curry right now, as they should be, because they know they can beat Portland without him. And they'll be fully locked and loaded and ready for San Antonio. And just hopefully that series is as good as it should be, because the whole season has basically been boiling down to that finals showdown between the Spurs and Warriors. And it looks like we're going to get it. And I just hope it's competitive with no more injuries. And then whoever wins the East gets served up to the winner of that series.
Yeah, I really hope. I am a Warriors fan. I grew up in the Bay Area. So I really do hope that Dick Curry comes back and just, I mean.
And I hope they don't, because I'm tired of you being so happy all the time.
It's nice.
I think it's frankly just sickening.
I don't want to see him tweak his ankle or bust up his knee. I just want
everybody to be happy.
I want everybody to be healthy. Yeah. I want basketball to be played at the highest level, and I think that will be, like you said, the Warriors and Spurs in that series. The East, however, is happening. There's basketball going on out there.
Yeah, the Cavs are going to beat the Hawks. The other series is a kind of a coin flip, because Miami themselves are sort of a coin flip team. Toronto looked pretty mediocre against Indiana. It's going to be an interesting series. I mean, my prediction would be the Miami-Cleveland Eastern Conference Finals. We've been promised in the stars for a couple years now. But there's not that much interesting in the East this year to me. The Cavs are just unbeatable.
Yeah, you know what? That's an interesting thing about the Cavs, is that they didn't have the most dominant regular season, and I, for one, was probably among those that were fooled into thinking that they were vulnerable, into thinking that maybe the whole Love, Irving, LeBron triumvirate wasn't really quite working. But they turned it on, and they have looked absolutely magnificent.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron turned it on by himself pretty much in the playoffs last year. That's just kind of what he does. He has this extra gear that nobody on earth has.
Yeah.
And he's going to make, what, his fifth straight finals out of the East, his sixth overall.
Is it only five straight? I thought it was six. I don't know.
Yeah, you might be right. He made three with Miami. No, this will be his fifth straight.
Okay.
Yeah. No, wait.
Didn't he make four with Miami?
Yeah, he did make four with Miami.
Okay.
God, how time flies. We're getting old.
Yeah, no, he's... A lot of this season, I thought he looked for real older. Not like he had been.
I think he just took it down a notch smartly.
Yeah.
He doesn't need another MVP award.
Not that he was bad or anything crazy like that anymore. Just that he was not Space Jam. He wasn't like, you know, the guy you would put in Space Jam this year.
It's taken so long for the Space Jam movie to come out that I wonder if the Toon Squad even wants LeBron James at this point.
Do you think they would rather have Stephen Curry?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know,
how the dynamics of Stephen Curry in the Toon Squad work, though? Because, like, Michael Jordan in Space Jam dunks it from half court by extending his arm the entirety of the half court.
Maybe he shoots Planet Earth into the hoop.
Is Stephen Curry dribbling Planet Earth? And
Yeah, okay. I'm done. We got to go. Marwan Al-Hammadi, thank you so much for putting up with us today and producing this. You can follow us on Twitter at what?
NatSportUAE.
And on Facebook at?
It's facebook.com/thenationalsport.
And that's facebook.com?
MySpace, MySPACE.
Thanks, guys. We'll come back and talk basketball maybe someday.
Thank you.